Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Bravo Papers. We have a bonus episode today talking about the Vanderpump Rules after show. And just a couple announcements before we get into that. First of all, I know there was no Bravo Weekly News episode on Friday, but I decided to take the Friday off because it was Easter, Good Friday. My daughter was home from school. You know, I had family here, so it was just not conducive to recording. And, you know, sometimes you got to put family first. And, well, actually, I guess you should always do that. But the other thing is that there wasn't like a ton of groundbreaking news last week. However, what I'm going to do is do kind of like a supersized episode this week. So I'll have a bigger news episode with the news from last week and this week all combined into one. And, you know, you'll have like a bigger, juicier episode to look forward to this week. So I'm still going to, you know, bring out my Vanderpump Rules after show recap because I did take notes on it and there were some interesting tidbits. It wasn't like one of the best after shows for episode 9, but it was pretty good. The other thing I wanted to tell everyone about is that I am going to be doing recaps of the Summer House after show on my Patreon as part of my weekly bonus episode. So if you're interested, you know, I usually go over like whatever topic I feel like talking about that week, you know, and it could be in relation to any of the shows or drama going on social media with the shows and Bravo or whatever. And then I'll also kind of tack on the Summer House recap with it. Okay. So yeah, look forward to that. They just started releasing the Summer House after show. They just started it this last week. They didn't have one for the first few episodes, and I did think it was pretty interesting. There were some interesting tidbits. So if you're interested, it's patreon.com/bravoandbotox. And, you know, you'll get 4 bonus episodes every month for $5 a month, plus, you know, my regular weekly news episodes and Vanderpump Rules after show recaps, of course. All right. So let's get into it. So the first topic that they discussed on the after show for episode 9 was the Max and Katie hookup. So Schwartz basically says that Max called him, I don't know, I guess like 5 days after Schwartz found out about it, and that it felt so uncomfortable. And, you know, he says Max sounded very uncomfortable. And, you know, they did go out. They got lunch. Max said it was alcohol-induced, but mutual. And, you know, Katie, though, was more of the aggressor. And, you know, Schwartz is like, yeah, it sounded like Katie was the aggressor and she was on a mission. Which, I don't know, whatever. I take everything Schwartz says with a grain of salt. Katie says, it's funny though, because then they flash to Katie and Ariana, and Katie says there was more flirting on Max's part. And also that it was weird that Shayna was creeping on him and his location. Listen, from everything I've heard, Max gets around. And he's, you know, he's a little bit, he's promiscuous, which again, I'm not judging him for that. I'm just saying that's something that has been said and is known. And it seems like he gets around this group as well. But, you know, Katie also maybe wanted to get some revenge on Schwartz, which again, I fully support her in. So who knows? It doesn't matter really who is the aggressor. I don't really think so. They clearly were both interested. So there you go. You know, Jack says Sheena probably like wanted to do some sleuthing because she likes doing that. And, you know, then he's like, oh yeah, she learned it from Kristen and blah, blah, blah. You know, and he goes on his little rant about how Kristen is such a, you know, detective. Again, like Jax is just always, he's always like salty, like no matter what, he's just always salty that these women have caught them. And these guys get so, it's like they get so annoyed about, you know, the fact that these women have the ability to bust them and have multiple times. And then they act like the women are the problem. Like, shut up. Okay. The guys, obviously. Okay. Sheena says her and Max are very good friends and that they've shared their locations for a couple of years now. When Sheena said this, I could tell she was like using all her power to hold back saying best friends because she gets clowned for that so much. Because I was like, it's been a while since I've heard Sheena say very good friends. You could tell that like hurt her inside to not be able to say best friends. Sheena also says that Max was checking her location and texted her and asked her if she's going to be out for a while because I guess he saw she was out with like their friends or whatever. And he saw her location and Sheena was like, oh yeah, you know, you should come join us. But Sheena also says, so I guess she's trying to like kind of give context, right? That they were already checking each other's location. So it's not as, I don't know, creepy as it seems. I don't mean creepy in like the like stalker way. I mean creepy in the just creeping on people. Okay, where was I? Sorry. Oh, yeah. So Sheena said that in the past, though, she has noticed a vibe between him and Katie and that she's felt it for a while now. So there you go. Like, Sheena, you just told on yourself. You've obviously thought something was up with them. So you were checking. I don't know. I'm not like mad at it, but don't try to pretend it was just purely coincidental because it wasn't. Katie says, you know, it was weird the first time that Max started flirting with her and she was like taken aback. Like she was surprised that he was, I guess, like hitting on her whenever this started with Max. And Sheena texted him and asked if he made it home safe to Max, I mean, and he sent like some weird emoji. And I guess his texts or his responses were a little bit weird. So she looked at his location and saw he was in Katie's building. So, yeah. Again, Sheena, you know, with the list of excuses as to why she's checking the location, just admit you were curious and, you know, you don't know how to mind your business. That's it. Ariana says she can't imagine many people being worried about Max's safety going home because, yeah, Sheena's trying to make it out like she wanted to make sure, like, she's like, did you get home safe, you know? And Ariana's like, you know, why is Sheena like so worried about this? It's, he wasn't even walking home. Like he was fine. And then Katie jumps in and is like, yeah, Sheena wasn't worried about my safety getting home. She's like, I never got a text. She's like, and I'm, you know, like a woman going home on my own. So, you know, they're just kind of calling BS on all Sheena's excuses. Sheena decides the next morning that she's going to share this with Brock based on the text that she was getting from Max. So the next morning, she says that Brock told her to check his location. Okay. So now Brock is the one. Okay. Just like, Sheena, just admit that you and Brock probably together were curious. Here's a storyline. Here's something that you can whatever. Like just, yeah. And like Brock is just as messy as Sheena. Which, like, they are good as a couple in that sense. Not in maybe every sense, but in that sense. And then Jax does say that Max had told him that he hooked up with Katie. Okay. That's pretty much it. So let's talk about Schwartz and Sheena. So Sheena says her and Ariana were, like, making out in the middle of the casino. And then Schwartz saw this and basically was, like, told Sheena to come over to, like, a corner or wherever he was standing. And then he kissed her and she was shocked. Which that could be true. Definitely. It could also be true that he kissed her and she kissed back, you know? So it's, I don't know. It's hard to tell. I think the real truth is somewhere in the middle, probably, of Schwartz's story and Sheena's story. So Katie says she's not surprised, but you know, that Schwartz would do this. And the thing that she was the most mad about it was that, or sorry, the thing she was the most mad about was that they both kept it from her for so long. Sheena says, you know, never speak of this Like she said that to Schwartz. And she says, you know, I'm already the home wrecking whore of this group and your girlfriend hates me. And this is not something I asked for. So Sheena's really like leaning on the he initiated it, which again, I could see him initiating it. I could also see Sheena being down with it once initiated, because that's kind of how she makes it sound. And we'll get to that later in this part, because Sheena does kind of clarify that. So Schwartz says Sheena is making it sound like he came on to her and snuck around a corner to kiss her and was creepy, but it wasn't like that. It was mutual. Schwartz says if that was true, you know, that it was like a creepy, weird thing, then why would she keep bringing it up in this like cheeky, joking way? Which, okay, I see what he's saying. Katie says that she does see that Schwartz could have been the instigator, but doesn't think that he would do it in a like non-consensual, I guess, kind of way. Ariana says Sheena knows by saying that it, you know, it implies that it comes across bad for Schwartz. And then Sheena clarifies, they go back to Sheena, and Sheena clarifies it was not forceful. Basically, like he shot his shot, she turned him down and agreed to never tell anyone. Okay. Although, I guess if you're going to take the vow of silence, Sheena, you can't be joking about it out in the open, because it's going to get back eventually. I mean, clearly this is Schwartz's fault that this even got back to anyone. Schwartz and Lala are both really playing producer puppets this season. Like, I feel like they're just doing what the producers are telling them to keep the show going. I mean, I could see that. Like, Lala doesn't seem like she has that many other prospects besides the show. I mean, she has a successful podcast, don't get me wrong, but Schwartz especially. Like, clearly the restaurant is not working out. You know, he's trying to like, he needs time. He needs more seasons of this show to revamp his image. If the show gets canceled after this season, it's like, you know, he just goes down as, you know, another Bravo fuckboy, which he will no matter what. But he doesn't know that. Katie says if it was really a big fat nothing burger, why didn't Sheena just tell her? She said she would have liked to know that her boyfriend was a creep if it was like the creepy way that Sheena's making it out to be, which agreed. And again, it sounds like, listen, this is what I think probably happened. They were probably flirting. Everybody in the group sounds like maybe they're all kind of flirting with each other. So they were probably flirting. They probably were drunk and whatever. And I think probably they were maybe like talking or something, and there was like a moment where something super flirty was said, and maybe like, you know, the nonverbal signals were there and Schwartz went for it. And maybe she kissed him back for like a second and then she was like, no, 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 we got to stop. That's probably what happened. Like, that's probably what happened. It's, again, the truth is usually in the middle. And it doesn't sound like, it sounds like Sheena's walking back her story of it a bit. You know, Schwartz is sticking with the just like, I went in for a kiss and that was it. Like, I don't know. So I'm going to go with that. But again, you know, it would be nice if somebody else had witnessed it. Ariana asks Katie, would you have broken up with him if you had known? And Katie says it would have been she doesn't say yes, but she just says it would have been a very different situation because it wasn't some random unknown girl. She could live in ignorance, you know, if it is some random, you're never going to see them again. But had it been someone she knew, it would have been different, or it would have felt different, which, yeah, I can understand that. Sheena says she never wanted to hurt Katie, and she knew Katie already had, you know, feelings about Sheena's past, and that it, you know, she knew it was never going to happen again, and it was a dumb drunken thing, and that, you know, Schwartz makes out with people when he's drunk, which again, like, Schwartz is the worst. Okay. Katie says she's not really upset about all of this. It just confirms why she's never trusted Sheena or Schwartz, which again, it's like, yeah, like in retrospect, it's like you shouldn't have married him. Clearly, he's not trustworthy, you know, and if somebody's cheated on you multiple times, it's like, how many chances are you going to give them? But, you know, she thought she loved him. She did love him. She gave into the social pressure of getting married as a woman by a certain age and all that kind of stuff. And I think that pressure is just so big. It really does make women overlook serious red flags, and it makes women make stupid choices. It really does a lot of the time. I mean, look at Lindsay. I think a lot of Lindsay's like blinders. And I think some people are like, there's no way she could have been blindsided. It's not that she was blindsided, like she objectively wasn't blindsided. It's that her perception was so off because she just wanted to have that fairy tale that for a lot of women, it's like drilled into us from a young age, right? And I think that was kind of Katie's issue too. Again, not saying like the women don't have to take any accountability for that, but I mean, they suffered the consequences, which is that the relationships didn't work and you got screwed over by these guys. They all think it's weird and invasive that Sheena has so many different locations. You know, they're shocked to find out she has 56. Sandoval says that he, after the whole like Scandoval thing broke, he says he had numerous people who were like, I can't be around you because Sheena has my location. And they didn't want Sheena to know that they were hanging out with Sandoval, which I thought was so funny. And they all basically across the board, women and men, think it's weird and invasive. Sandoval says there's only one person who has his location, but he won't say who. Okay. As though he thinks like that's going to keep us on the edge of our seats waiting to find out. I give zero F's about who has Sandoval's location. Ariana doesn't really think it's too weird. She says like, it's kind of fun. See where everybody is. Like she, whatever. It was kind of funny that she said that. But she does say like, okay, maybe not 56. Like that's a lot. Then they go on to the topic of the house email. So this is the email where, you know, Tom said that he emailed Ariana and made an offer about the house and she hadn't responded, and that whole like scripted scene with Billy Lee. So Ariana says him emailing her personally is not the appropriate way to handle the house dispute. Okay, so he emailed her a personal email. So it was not like an email from between lawyers, and it was not like done the proper legal way. And Ariana says he needs to email her lawyer if he wants to make that type of offer, which makes sense, obviously. She also says his offer was BS because he didn't really send an offer. He sent a letter of intent. There was no formal offer. It was oddly written. It came attached to another email that was very informal. And she's not sure, you know, where he got the letter of intent, like format. It was like he like downloaded it from online. He was making up dollar amounts in it without having had an appraisal of the house done, etc. There was no mention of the furniture, any shared possessions, the furniture being worth 100K plus. So she's not going to accept this. Obviously. Like, here's the thing, like, Sandoval is very good at putting a spin on things, and he's also very good at, like, he just shares like just enough information to create kind of reasonable doubt in some of the audience. And I think most of the audience is reasonable enough to kind of see past this. But it's like once you find out all this extra information, it makes sense. And I think what's driving a lot of us crazy this season is that Lala seems to have no critical thinking skills all of a sudden. Not that she's been like the best critical thinker on the cast or anything, but lately it's like she just accepts the information she's given and like runs with it. And, you know, considering her experience with Rand, I would think she would be a little more discerning when it comes to taking information from a man who's a known liar and just accepting it as Bible, right? Which is, again, I know we're not talking about Lala right now, but she's driving me crazy. Okay, Jax asks Sandoval if there's ever been like a real discussion of selling the house. And Sandoval says he's gone back and forth. He's the only one who's been making payments for 10 months. So we get that song and dance again. And he's basically being sued by her, but that he's still hoping to keep the house. This is the part I'll be the most interested in. Is he going to get to keep it? Because now we know that Ariana has bought. So if you didn't hear, by the way, Ariana's bought her own home in the Hollywood Hills, like a $1.6 million home. And so now I'm curious. So clearly she's moving out and leaving and getting away from this guy. Good for her. But I'm just wondering, like, does that mean that he agreed to sell it? I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't even want to own that house anymore because it's got such bad, like, energy in it. But it's funny because he's like, I use it. I was like, yeah, duh. Everyone who lives in a house uses it, moron. Okay, so Sandoval thinks that, you know, someone should stay. He wants to stay. He wants to build a bar. The band practices in it, all this stuff. Okay. James kind of makes fun of the whole, like, oh, yeah, he's been saying he's going to build this bar for, like, years and he hasn't done it. I mean, that's so Sandoval. He's just, like, a lot of talk. Takes him forever to actually do something, probably. James says that Sandoval told him that he wants to raise his kids in the backyard. And then James and Brock are like so grossed out by this. They're like, ooh, they confuse me so much. Because on the show, it feels like James and Brock are so much more forgiving and seeing Sandoval's side. But then in the after show, they seem like just weirded out by him. And like, they just think he's like a weirdo. So I don't know what to think. Like, it's a very annoying season. And then Lala and Sheena, too, seem like really grossed out by this. They're like, ew, he wants to raise his kids back there. I'm like, girls, like, whose side are you on? Like, just pick a lane, I guess. I guess you don't have to completely, but it's just, it's all very confusing. Maybe it's because of, like, when the after show's taped and feelings have, like, changed or developed. I don't know. I don't know. So now they talk about Joe at Hotel Ziggy. So Lala says, you know, listen, this group is tough. They're tough on everyone new who comes in, but that she stands by that she does not think it was bullying, which I agree. It wasn't. Was Sheena like borderline? Sheena was on the borderline with the hat thing. But it was also clear that like Sheena's version of bullying is so tame. But her taking the hat and all that kind of stuff, it was mean. I did think it was mean and stupid, you know, and just unnecessary. Like, who cares? I don't know. Like, we care. I get it. I get why the girls would be like, ugh, totally. But you don't need to, like, take it off her head and do all that stuff. That was a little much. But again, you know, I think Joe's reaction was a little too, like, trying to be the victim in the situation. You know, Brittany says she knows how this group can be intimidating. And Lala says, yeah, Katie was a little tough in the comments section, you know, when she made that comment about Joe's energy being akin to a crackhead. I don't think that's that bad. Like, in the grand scope of this show, it's not that bad. Is it nice? No. Is calling her spooky, I don't know, the worst insult? It's not that bad, but again, it's not nice, okay? I can say that. I think the meanest thing that I've seen is Sheena with the hat. So, but also it's like, okay, so don't come around. Like, no one asked you to be on the show. Okay, well, somebody did, clearly, producers or Schwartz, but you chose to come on a show where like half the cast hates you, knowing that. And knowing that these girls have an issue with you. And this is their show. You are on their turf. I'm sorry. So if you can't deal with it, like, you have to be pretty tough, like, to be on these shows. And I don't know, if you can't handle it, just don't do it. Because if she's already running away, crying just because the girls are, like, talking about her amongst themselves and not even speaking directly to Joe, then like she's going to be in for a rough ride. Like, really. You know, Sheena starts talking about how she, the way that she acted with Joe, she was weaning off of Zoloft so she could drink. So it was because she was drinking and she was being silly. She didn't mean it to be like mean girl. And, you know, she doesn't like to attack people's appearances. I mean, listen, I don't necessarily think Sheena did mean it to be mean girlish, but it doesn't really matter. It came off that way. So, you know, to me, that would be the thing that Joe was justified in being upset about. But instead, she's upset because like Katie and Ariana or whoever, like on over whispering, you know, and she doesn't even know what they're saying. I don't know. This is all Schwartz's fault, really, if you stop and think about it. He brings her on the show when he doesn't even have any real intention of dating her. And he's making a fool of her and he's using her. And again, he's just doing like production's bidding because he knows this will make a storyline. He knows the girls don't like Joe. So there you go. Another storyline from the new season and they all want to keep the show going. So yeah, Schwartz is the worst. Okay. Let's see. Sheena says that she does know she was giving unsolicited advice and, you know, when it comes to Joe. But she also says, you know, just knowing that how complicit Joe was in the affair just made her feel blah about Joe, which I could accept that if Sheena wasn't so, I don't know, like on the road to being friends with Sandoval again. Like, it's just like, are you forgiving Sandoval or not? Like, is like all this being a terrible friend to Ariana just for nothing? Because you actually don't like Sandoval? Like, I just don't get it. It's very unclear. It's like one episode she's crying, I can't hate him for you. And then the next episode she's being fully mean to Joe because of her role in Scandoval. Like, girl, which one is it? Nothing makes sense. But again, it's not lost on me that Sheena's more comfortable being mean to a girl over a guy, right? Like, instead of being directly mad at Sandoval and giving it to him, when he's the one who actually is the most at fault, she'd rather give it to Joe. It's very Sheena. Very Sheena. Okay, Brittany says Joe can't expect everyone to run over to her with open arms considering the situation. Exactly. This might be one of the few times I agree with Brittany. Kristen says the night that Ariana found the phone, Joe sent... Okay, so this changed my mind a lot about Joe. I mean, I already was not a fan, but I could appreciate just like her as like a TV character. But this is all making more sense. So... Kristen says the night that Ariana found the phone, Joe sent a group chat to Ariana, Tom Sandoval, and Raquel saying, I love you all. I care about all of you. And this is really difficult for me right now. Okay. So again, like making it about her. And just the fact that she would send that text the night that Ariana found out that Rachel was sleeping with Sandoval and Ariana is going through this devastation. And that night she sends a group text with Raquel, Sandoval, and Ariana all in it. It's psychotic. You can't, like, oh my God. And saying, I love you and this is difficult for me. No one cares about you right now. No one's even thinking about you. Ugh. And then Kristen said she would tell, you know, she would text Katie all the time before she started sleeping with Schwartz, like asking her questions. Do you think Schwartz wants a haircut? Like, it's like you're like trying to go through his ex to get to him, which is really messed up. Jack says no girl will ever be comfortable with this group because, you know, they're all just the worst, right? Which is funny because watching how Jax is treating Luke on the Valley, I'm like, Jax, you are the exact same way, just in male form. You know, Schwartz says that Joe also had something personal going on. And, you know, we've all had meltdowns on camera. It's just her first meltdown on camera. So Schwartz is clearly fine with throwing Joe to the wolves. He doesn't give a crap about Joe. Like, I'm starting to wonder if Schwartz has the capacity to care about people outside of himself. I don't know. Katie says basically what I think, which is if you can't handle it, there's the door. Like, no one told you to be here. Like, you can't walk into a lion's den and then get upset when the lion tries to eat you. You walked in there. You knew the lion was hungry. And you went in, you know, after you'd rubbed like bacon grease all over yourself. That's your own fault. I'm sorry. Okay. You're an adult with agency and choice. Okay. So then they talk about, so the last subject of the day is they talk about basically why Brock doesn't like Sheena kissing girls, which, I mean, I think that should be obvious because if you're kissing somebody who's not Brock, you're cheating. But I guess since it's females, we have to have like more discussion about it. I don't know. So when Sheena met Brock, she'd been dating a girl and then basically cut that off before it went further. And she, you know, she had to cut off her relationship with this girl because she started to really like Brock. And that's why he's not comfortable with her kissing girls. Okay, obviously. I don't know. I don't know why this is like such a groundbreaking thing, but, you know, Lala goes on a rant about how, although I do, sorry, one more thing about that. I do think it's interesting. I didn't even know, I didn't know that Sheena was bisexual. I never knew that. Maybe she said that on the show. I know Ariana has. Maybe I just missed it. Okay. Lala goes on a rant about how she liked the things Sandoval's breathwork guy, so they talk about the breathwork thing, was saying, and how those were good things. You know, like everything is a part of your path. You can come back from mistakes. And she was hoping that Sandoval would hear this, but she doesn't think he's handled everything that well and maybe hasn't heard, didn't really take in that message. Okay, I thought, I don't know, whatever. Okay. Again, this is like, I just feel like Lala and Sheena are just constantly talking out both sides of their mouth. And that's what makes them to me so frustrating and just unreliable as narrators. I know Andy tried to say that Lala is like the narrator, the reasonable narrator, whatever this season. No. Hell no. Sandoval says it felt nice to take a step back and think positively of somebody in regards to Lala. Lala says she didn't want to be besties with him, but they just wanted to have an understanding and be civil. I like being civil is one thing. Why do you have to have an understanding? I don't have to have an understanding of Tom's perspective, especially if it's a selfish, narcissistic, egomaniac type of perspective. Or I guess maybe I can understand it, but like she acts like they have to like come to this place of agreement. I mean, you can just be civil. That is true. If you know you have to be in the same place. You can also film separately, but anyways, that seems to be lost on this cast this season. Listen, I have always been a proponent of the cast needs to film together. The cast needs to film together. But people have pointed out that in the past, there have been times where the cast was fragmented and people weren't filming together, like in like Stassi days and whatever, which is true. So I don't know. Maybe this whole like obsession the producers had this season of getting everyone back together, like maybe it was just the wrong path to go down. That's what it seems like. Okay, everyone. I hope everyone had a fantastic Easter long weekend, whether you celebrate Easter or not. I hope you got to just, you know, enjoy some extra time off. We love that. And thank you so much for listening. And I will see you this Friday for a supersized Bravo Weekly news episode. Until then, have a great week and keep overanalyzing Bravo. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me, and this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoAndBotox, and for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month, You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/Bravo and Botox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.